Well, good evening and hello there. This is Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles with Alan and Jay. And I'm joined with my partner, Alan. I'm Jay. Say hi, babes.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Happy hump day. Happy Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. Yes. Today is Wednesday. If it's Wednesday and it's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, it is us here with Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. And we're going to be talking tonight about how many chances do we give our partner? How many chances do we give our partner? And that is in all the different kinds of ways that we can do that.
Well, we have to clarify it. So every relationship has its own written rule or unwritten rules, but we always talk about certain rules. So sometimes in the relationships, rules get broken. And I'm not talking small ticket. I'm talking big stuff. What do you do? And what is the right thing to do? Get a second chance or no chance and that's it. And the old story and trust is broken. And it's really, and it's true, it's very hard to gain back. So what do you do? What do you do? And tonight we want to talk a little bit about that. And also, very much interested of what you have to say. What is your input? Because I don't think there is right or wrong in this. Everybody's relationship is different. Everybody's beliefs are different. Perspectives are different. And whatever works for each couple, that's the way it rolls. So anyway, so let us know what you think. If your partner breaks your trust, breaks the major rule in your relationship, what would your response be? What would you do? And what was your experience in the past?
So to do that, there's a couple ways to join us. We have the phone lines open today. We don't always do that for this show. But tonight, you can join us on the phone by calling 857-232-0155. That's 857-232-0155. And you can dial extension 870303. It will put you on a brief hold, but then it brings you on, and usually right away you'll hear Alan and I chatting it up. And if we don't happen to acknowledge your presence right away, if we don't happen to notice that you've joined, please say hello so we know that you're there and we'll be able to have a conversation. The other way to join us is over on the Facebook chat. You can join us there by going to 12radio.com and clicking on the chat button. That does open up a new window into Facebook. It's a private Facebook group called the same name, 12radio. Send over an invitation if this is your first time, and then join us underneath the banner of Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles, pinned to the top of the page. In the comments section is where the conversation is also happening. And there already is Renee joining us. Hi, Renee. It's great to see you. She says, hi, Jay and Alan.
With some. Renee. How are you?
And then we have Marina. She says, hi, guys. It's great to see you, Marina.
Hi, Marina.
And then Lilia. She says, hello, guys. And it's great to see you, Lilia. Liliana. So, for the topic, I feel like, first off, let's kind of ground it in like more of a realistic kind of situation. So what would you say are like on the table as far as the major rule-breaking situations? I mean, I know obviously cheating is a huge one, but what are some of the other ones that you would have on your list?
Well, I have cheating. I've always been a very big rule when I'm in a relationship. No heavy drugs. And definitely you have something to say it, but don't lie. And that's it. Those are, I mean, like no drugs, no cheating, and no lying. And yeah, I mean, the rest of it is, I mean, given. I mean, if there's physical abuse and stuff, there is no second chances for that. But, yeah, I mean, those are the main ones that come to my mind right now. that if it happens, what would we do? What do you do? I mean, it's normally it's very easy when you're not in a relationship or you're starting a relationship. It's like, oh my God, that's it, I'm done. You do it once, da da da. But when you are in a relationship, you are invested in it for a while. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like, okay, let's look at it. Can we work this out? Because I had loved ones, I had few friends and stuff that they went into an unfaithful, they were in an unfaithful relationship, and then they worked through things. Sometimes they broke up, and some of them they stayed together. So there is no right or wrong. There is no shaming. Oh, why would you do that? It's just, it is. For every couple, it's different.
I would have to agree. I mean, no situation is the same, just like no relationship is the same. And the two parties or more in some relationships that make up the partnership, it really is up to those two individuals to decide. Everyone's going to have an opinion, everyone's going to have a perspective, but as Alan said, no one is necessarily right. Because it reminds me of something my stepdad would say, "Do you want to be dead right?" And I feel like it's another way I've heard that is in my metaphysical sort of training, and that is releasing the need to be right. Because, how often do we have our own idea of what we think or how we see it, but that it doesn't necessarily involve the other person? Like we haven't included them. And then once we include them, then there's more of an interchange. So I would say part of what is the process is communication, not only before an incident would happen, but hopefully that communication is being built throughout the relationship.
For sure, because I mean, yes, I mean, obviously, like for example, me and Jay, we talked about our relationship, what we are expecting, what we want, what we need in our relationship. And honesty, loyalty, monogamy, those are very big ones that is on top of the list. And if something happens that, it doesn't matter, I mean, it's me or Jay. What would we do? I mean, that it's really hard. It's a really hard one to come up and say, okay, I'm gonna pull the plug. I will kick his ass first, but then we'll talk and then we'll see how, I mean, because sometimes when people are in a relationship, let's say one partner messes around, for example, let's say, and then they sit and talk. What happens is sometimes it's not even about that cheating part. It's about the lies and what is around it and how often did it happen and how often did you lie. So the cheating part is just the tip of the iceberg. And that's what I think it is. You cheated, I get it, I know what it is, I know what you did. But what is behind that? What is that under the like what is it? Like under the water. You see the tip of the iceberg, but under the water is the much, much bigger thing. And who are you? How often? I mean, if you can be easily go and be unfaithful to me, to your relationship, what else have you done? What else did you say that it wasn't true? So that those are the things that I think we get angry, we retaliate, we break up, then we want to talk about it. So share with us what experience did you have? I mean, if you had anything that broke your heart or hurt you that you had to pull the plug or sit down and talk, we like to hear that.
Definitely. And I would have to agree with Alan. It's easy to say like what I would do in a particular situation, but then there's actually being in the situation. And oftentimes, like when friends and family are giving us advice, they're giving it from their perspective on like how they see life and what would be quote unquote right for them. And they're then coloring that on to you. And that's totally human. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes I feel we can take that on, and then we feel like we need to go replicate what other people are doing, and we can lose touch with like what we really want for our own relationship. How do we really want to build it from brick by brick, and really going through the process to figure that out, like not just relying on what you see going on or what you think you see going on in everyone else's relationship. What I'm reminded of are like how TV shows or movies handle cheating relationships and the drama. And it usually is focused on the drama, and not too much is usually focused on what Alan mentioned, like the what happened underneath the iceberg that even created the circumstances for that even to occur. And then also, like Alan said, like what else is going on with that person, or what else is going on with a partner that if it's addressed could potentially make the partnership stronger. You know, it could lead to it breaking up, of course, but it also could lead to it being stronger. And I'm not saying, oh, go out and cheat because you'll make your relationship stronger. That's not what I'm saying. But it is the kind of thing, are you going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, or are you going to give the relationship a shot?
And well, honestly, I've seen that a lot happening, that it doesn't have necessarily to be cheating, but there is something that was huge and it broke apart the couple's relationship. And then they went back and tried to work it out. They became much more stronger. They actually talked it out. They listened. But the problem is a lot of times everything is so suppressed. The little thing, the little bits and pieces in the relationship that bothers you, you suppress it, and that becomes a big resentment. And the other couples, the other partners breathing, even chewing, annoys you. Because you never talked about things. Everything is like, oh my God, it's not a big deal. Oh my God, I can let it go. Oh my God. Everything just accumulates. It becomes a mountain of issues that it creates a resentment. And the smallest thing that happens, or not a small thing, when a big thing happens, people get into it, start fighting, arguing. And then that is where, quote unquote, it comes. You fill the gaps. You always did this. You always said this. You always left the toilet seat up. You always... Every little thing starts flooding out. But if you do, in the beginning of a relationship, whatever happens, can you do this, please? Can you do that, please? Can you not do this, please? And then the partner listens, actually, and follows, and you do the same. There is no resentment. The big tickets, then you're addressing only the big tickets. You don't bring the laundry. You don't bring the toilet seat. You don't bring the close the toothpaste or press it from the bottom, not from the top, and all that little crap, not like unimportant stuff. So what you do is you talk actually about the real problem. But we don't, because we are not honest to our partner from beginning on, because we don't communicate. So that's why in our relationship, we decided, no matter how, again, I quote unquote this part, how stupid this is or how silly we think it is, if it's in your mind and if it's bothering you, then it's very big for you. It doesn't matter how I feel, just say it. And we create kind of that safe space to talk about our issues or what our likes and dislikes. Then we don't have, or we can have as little as issues as possible, and when something major happens, so we can at least have room to address that big problem and not bring the little crap up.
Well, and there's a saying that you've said, and I'm going to paraphrase, you're going to be able to actually say it, but something to the effect of, we can only sweep so much under the rug before it starts to, like, you can't sweep anymore. Like, so if all the little things are taking up that, like Alan said, then there isn't really usually going to be enough room to handle something big, because the volcano erupts, and in the volcanic eruption of feelings and emotions, words get said. And then sometimes in that situation, we can't walk certain things back. So it is tricky. And again, this is where I always come back to communication. And it isn't just about talking, even though that's part of it. But like Alan said too, one thing you mentioned is creating a safe space to have those conversations. I talk to a lot of people that they want to believe that they create a safe space, but they're very reactive people. So when their partner shares, they're losing their mind. And then they wonder why their partner doesn't share with them. So it's a kind of thing where we have to also understand like the yin and the yang, and the unique parts of your personality and also the unique parts of your partner's personality. and like be willing to get in there and work it out. And Alan and I, we are constantly working at that and modifying it and growing as we grow as individuals, as we grow as our partnership. And you would love to see this cute little picture we have right here with Watson. He is heavy breathing in between us, in case you might hear his earlier he was panting, now he's just heavy breathing, but he's very happy. And so all that to say, we really do want to hear from you on the air. We want to have you come on live with us, talk about your own situation that you might be going through or have gone through. Also, if you were very close to going through that situation with a friend, with a partner, and you learned something through that by being more of the mediator, we would also love to hear from you and hear what you learned, because this is the space and place to share knowledge and wisdom. So call in by dialing 857-232-0155, and then you'll have to dial extension 870-303. Let me check in on the comments really quick and see if we have any new comments. And Marina says, it all depends, the circumstances and the extent of the level of trust broken. I would have to agree. I feel like Alan and I are talking about that specifically, and why it is difficult to make a black and white decision in these kind of cases, because there are feelings and emotions involved, and because there is an investment of time and energy in the partnership. Babes, how do you weigh out, like in the past when you've had a situation that has come up with a partner, what is it like for you to weigh out like what it is that you want to do, or how it is you want to rectify the situation or correct the situation or just leave? Like, do you have a process for yourself?
Well, in the past, I had situations that I was really desperate and I didn't want a relationship to end. I made up excuses. I kind of shoved it under the rug. I swept it under the rug, but it festered in me. And I always questioned it. Why? How? What happened? When did it happen? How did it happen? And then it was too late, because every time I would bring it up, the person would be like telling me a different story. So, but then I think that was my choice and my mistake. What I learned from it is, like, you know what, face the problem heads on and ask the questions, ask the right questions, don't be reacting, get the information that you need, and then you decide if that is right information, because we are all intuitive, we have all listen to your gut. If the person gives you the information is right or not, if it's right, you make a decision with what you want to do with that information. If it's wrong, then why even bother? Because not only there was a betrayal, but also now there's extra lies on top of lies. So then that's what it is, and then you're just walking away. So that's the way I learned that, you know what, when the trust is broken and the person is not clear about it, and there is blame shifting and also manipulation and some lies, I'm like, what am I doing here? That's the question. And now, at this point of my life, I learned to let the person be, not even question in my head or to question the person. I always question myself. What is it that I want? What do I do from here? The person did what the person did.
There's so many things that you said that I had like a little something to say about this, something to say about that. Because it's such a great, that was great advice and a great process. Because what's difficult about these situations is there's the thing that happened, and then there is the aftermath. And can you trust that person again? Can you not trust that person again? Or is your trust maybe diminished, but it's like it can be repaired over time? You know, or is it just, nope, this is like a deal breaker? But realizing that that might be easy to come to from a mental perspective, it's hard sometimes from an emotional perspective. And like one of the things Alan said that did jump out of me is I feel like you use the word desperation, or like mm-hmm. that can have you sticking around for different kinds of bad behavior in a different kind of way than if you weren't willing to, like, you know, if you had a different kind of boundary line or you had, you didn't have that need. So my point is we can put up with a lot of bullshit and a lot of nonsense from our partner because we don't want to have to go through the trouble of separating or going through the trouble of actually communicating about the white elephant in the room. And we can feel like maybe, you know, as the people pleaser in me speaking, we can think that we're saving ourselves or them from trouble. But we are literally creating the circumstances for it to get it even to get even worse because it will fester. More misunderstandings will happen. And then, like, because there's a communication breakdown, then people are working with not all the information. And that was another thing you mentioned. It's really important not to just be in the echo chamber of ourself. And I can do that. And Alan shows me time and time again how helpful it is when I include him on my own spin out. So that way he can also offer an input and insight. So I'm not just stuck in the echo chamber of my own mind. But that's something that we've developed. I can trust him for that. But that has taken me some time. So...
yeah, and honestly, and the hardest thing is because we all look for disclosure and we are looking for the answer from our unfaithful or lying or whatever partner that we forget about ourselves. We are in a search of why, what happened, why did he do that, what did he say, and all that. But think about it for a second, that you are a person of your own. And okay, let me sit back. This person betrayed me. What do I want to do with that information? Irregardless when it was, where it was, how it was, what do I want to do with that information? Or let's say I'm like, okay, my partner promised me I would never ever do drugs. I catch him like snorting coke or shooting in his arm. What do I want to do with that information? And yes, the circumstances and all that, I get it. But what is it that we want to do? Because a lot of times... you give the person a second chance. That second chance is not the second chance. I believe that second chance is the 10th chance, even though you caught him for the first time. And I will tell you how I come to that conclusion. If a person cheats on you, they contacted somebody. That's number one, got their number. Two, called them. Three, made a date. Four, they drove there. Five, they got there, knocked on the door. Six, get in there. Seven, undress. Eight, they sit down. Nine, they do it. 10. So you have 10 times the chance to turn around and say no. And you didn't. So you want another chance? What would that change? And the person, I believe, they're like, I am so sorry, especially when they get caught. I am so sorry. I think they're just sorry because they got caught. And they'll be smarter next time. So same with the drug, same with any kind of a lie. The circumstance is the circumstance. What is your circumstance? How much do you want that person in your life? How much do you need that person in your life? And honestly, a lot of times it doesn't have to be a betrayal. I had, a few years back, I was dating this one guy. And great guy, he wasn't about to commit. And we spent like, I think about 8 months together. And every time I would ask, like once every month or 2 months, I would ask, so where are we? He goes, well, you know where we are. I'm happy. This is working for me. So I kept giving him chances and chances and chances. But was I really? I wasn't giving him chances. I was clinging on him. He was very clear that he was fine with what it is. There is no commitment. There is no exclusivity. I was looking for those, for what I needed, and he wasn't going to give it to me. So, but I stuck around because I didn't want to be a single guy. So a lot of times when we say, oh, it depends on how far it goes and are there, and he's going to love me again or he's going to change, is he really?
Well, this is where I will say actions speak louder than words. Let me say it again. Actions speak louder than words because it's very easy to say certain things in the moment, especially in a high energy moment like that where You're trying to calm the situation down. Some people will say anything and they're really good at it, but that doesn't mean that it actually is going to actually be, you know, it doesn't mean that it's actually going to happen. And so it doesn't, my point is that it doesn't mean they're going to follow through. So you, part of it is you got to look, part of that trust development is being able to see that happening. So that way you have something real and grounded to rely on. Because if you don't have that, and then they are coming to you and you catch them cheating, like, what do you really have other than just your want to stay or your want to make it work? Yeah. Anyways, that's where it can get very tricky, because I feel like we can want someone so bad that we're willing to put up with their nonsense. But that can be very dangerous, because it may not seem so dangerous at first, but it compounds over time. It gets more and more, like, exponentially more of an issue over time as the relationship goes. So you mentioned another part about
the chances
yeah, and just how difficult of a situation that is, not only to be from the person that's in the situation that might have fucked up, but also the person that is actually the one that got cheated on or got hurt because some kind of mistrust happened, and like how that really works. Like, for the people that it does still work and ends up making their relationship stronger, I'm always very curious, like, what it was those two people did that allowed for that to happen.
I think it's the big fight, probably. I mean, you talk about things and you yell and scream and you tell every little detail and you clean that rug, so to say. You lift the rug and everything that is like under it comes out. And either it makes you or breaks you. It's a 50-50 chance. Then the both couples, they take the chance. And on the other side of the spectrum, I had a dear friend of mine that they almost went through a divorce because the husband cheated and she found out and he did it again and they were done. And she was like, well, you're out, I'm done. And it took a long time for the husband to realize that what happened here. And she waited and she didn't accept any apology. She goes, oh, I can't, because it was the second time. And then so, and sometimes it's not even a physical cheating. It's also emotional cheating, which is, I think sometimes it's even worse. So, but eventually, anyway, they came around. They're stronger than ever. And they're doing great, and we sometimes talk, and she's like, yeah, no, he's awesome. I trust him fully. He trusts me fully. And, I mean, we didn't go into detail. Again, we are not therapists. We are not psychologists. We are not sure how it works. But I think communication, and if you can't communicate therapy, I mean, all that, if you want to save a relationship.
Definitely. I've seen over time therapy can be an avenue that can work. But honestly, what I hear and what you're saying and what I've seen too is the couple's willingness, both parties, to get real and authentic with each other. And, you know, whether...
Exactly. Either you want to stay in the relationship or not. If not, you just have to think, if not, this is it. This is not a show. You're gone and you're starting your relationship, your love life all over again. And did you learn something about this? Or you're going to be in the next relationship and mess around with someone else. So it's not easy to end a relationship. It's not easy to end a relationship and then go, where are you going? What are you doing? Why do you want to end it? Instead of working on this one, grass is not fucking greener.
Well, that just reminds me, like, how many of you all have had that experience where you have had a dating relationship? You break up with them and then all of a sudden you're dating that person again, but they're in a different body. But like, they say the same kind of things. They act the same kind of way. It's literally like you get a whole other chance to learn those lessons again.
Yes, and the universe has all the time. You don't learn it, you will get the same person over and over and over and over until you learn your lesson. Trust me, I've done it for years. I met the same person. I swear some of them, they were even using the same sentences, same words, and same compliments, that it would freak me out until I'm like, okay, I am done. I'm gonna get celibate. I will be a monk and I go in a monastery. I won't look at another person again. And here we are. Jay is living here.
Well, luckily, he didn't go off to the monastery because we were able to, we're together, and thank God for that. Because, yeah, if you were to run off to the monastery. Yeah,
that would be a different dilemma. I would do all the monks. Well, I never mind. I don't want to say that. I don't like to say that already.
Well, you could.
Well, yeah, if I was in a monastery, I would have done all the monks, and they would have broken all their vows, and we had to come back to the mountain and then start dating people again.
So, oh my gosh, that kind of just is kind of funny to me. It, for some reason, reminds me of some kind of like crazy Simpson cartoon. Right. You going. Geraldine says, hi, Jay and Alan. I've been listening and I'm hearing some valuable, and it got cut off, but I'm trusting that you're hearing some valuable insights, hopefully. And don't forget, you can join us on the phone line, 857-232-0155. I know that you all are being bashful right now, but please, we are not going to bite. I will mention you have to dial extension 870-303. Those numbers are posted on 1-2 Radio as well as on the Facebook group if you want to see it in print. All right. So,
and also, if you decide to call, don't worry about it. You don't have to give your personal story or anything. You can just share anything, or you're just, and your insights, your advice, what do you think?
Exactly. I know Alan and I are not the only ones that have been in relationships, are in a relationship, as well as also we're humans. We have families, we have friends, you know, they're going through things. So as Alan said, we're here, we'd love to chat about it because we're community oriented creatures, and one of the parts that makes a healthy community is the communication, is the being able to talk about things, because so many things in life are not exactly how they've been told or expressed to us. And the only way to learn more is to be able to discuss it in a forum like this and others. So we appreciate you for listening in and being a part of our 1-2 Radio after hours. We're here late. And we know you're staying up late, especially for those of you that are on the East Coast, but we're very glad that you're here.
Also, one more thing. If you feel hurt and you left a relationship and you're gone and you're like, you know, I need to work on it to forgive and forget and let it go. And we try to let go of the hurt. Don't feel guilty if you don't want to forgive the person. You don't have to forgive the person. I sometimes think like, you know what, I'm going to let it go, but I hope he trips and falls down on his tongue. So that's fine. If you get pissed, if you want to call him names, but don't call him, just in your head, fight with him, but don't cling on it.
Well, to your point, I feel like forgiveness for me is more about what we need to do to heal whatever happened for ourselves. And it usually really doesn't have much to do with the other person. We make it about the other person. Like, we need them to see this,
you know,
or we.
It's me. I don't believe in forgiving the other. Because I think most of this anger comes from ourselves. You're angry at ourselves. I was angry at myself. Why am I with this person? Why did I stay? Why did I let him do that? A long list, right? I need to forgive me before I forgive him. I chose to stay in a relationship that wasn't healthy for me. And after I ended it, I was upset that why did I stay? I need to forgive me first. He is irrelevant. He's gone. There is no anger. If I decide to forgive him, that means I'm still angry at him. I'm indifferent about him. He was somebody in my life. He was awful and he was a bad relationship. I let it go. My anger was, then I realized my anger is towards me and not that person. The person was a person, came like a chapter in my life, came and left. Now it's my turn to deal with me because I'm spending whatever time I have on this earth with me.
Exactly. It really has everything to do with us and us. Even yeah. though it, you know, the interaction happened, whatever happened with that other person, of course. But at the end of the day, like Alan says, it's how we get the closure. And again, we oftentimes think we need that other person to be involved. And honestly, they do not need to be involved. It's better if they're not, because closure, the type of closure we're talking about, has to do with how you're treating yourself, how you're talking to yourself, how are you showing up for yourself, and how are you making sure that you're taken care of above and beyond whatever is happening with this other person.
Absolutely. The other person is irrelevant. It's a dust. It's nothing. It's gone. You chose to end it. And yes, anger and stuff. He is this, what do you call it, Matt? I forgot. This equation takes two people, two numbers. One is gone already. You are left with yourself, and look in the mirror and talk to yourself and see how pissed off you are. So I think that's what I did. I was like, oh my God, I want to forgive him. I want to let it go. Forgive him for what? Whatever he did, there is nothing to forgive. He did what he did. What is there to forgive and forget? I will never forget. And if I don't forget, how can I be cool about it and say, oh, he didn't know what he's doing. He exactly knew what he's doing. So that I'm not going to forgive. But I will forgive me that I tolerated, that I stayed as long as I stayed. And I have the heart to forgive my friends, my families and stuff. But when somebody does something over and over and over to you on purposely, then it's past the forgiveness. So now you have to live with yourself and make the decisions that you made during that relationship, or even if you stay in that relationship, you need to be gracious enough to forgive yourself. And that's what I learned from that.
And I'll say it's one of the hardest things to do, because especially for those of you that are empaths and people pleasers, it's one of the hardest things to do, because as an empath especially, we can get way too tuned into what the other person is feeling and how the other person is handling the situation. But guess what is happening when we do that? We're not paying attention to us, and we're not making sure that we're paying attention to our own situation for ourselves, like our own inner world, because we're way too focused about the other person. So part of it is being willing to unwrap ourselves from being so tied to what the other person is feeling, and then making our choices based on that. It's more making our choices based on where we are and how we're feeling and what's going to take care of us, and moving from that place.
And it's very sad to say that a lot of times we are more giving to others that forgiveness and being kind. We try to be kind and forgiving with others, and we tell our friends, our loved ones, oh, be kind, be forgiving. We always neglect ourselves. We never say, be kind to yourself, be gracious to yourself, be gentle to yourself. And we're not. We are trying to just fix something outside ourselves, where the problem a lot of times is within ourselves. And it can be grief, it can be anger, it can be anything. Work on that. You will see that the person on the other side is so insignificant that hurt you and walked away like nothing happened. You just will turn around and say, yeah, really, it happened, it's done, it's history. Now how am I going to move forward? So that's why a lot of times when it comes to forgiving, the forgiving, I think, depends on the partner. Are they, like you said, the actions speak louder than the words. Okay, they are asking for forgiveness. Are they changing? But this time you keep your ears and eyes open and watch them. If they're changing and you are still willing to be invested in that, more power to you. If they're not changing and you are still wanting to stay in that relationship, I would say, this number has been disconnected.
I mean, come on. It's true, because we can keep showing up and expecting something different from people, or we can get real with how they're showing up. You know, and like Anda said, you know, are they showing up and are they making an effort, or are you dealing with a brick wall? And that's where then we have to have like the tough love with ourselves, Because again, sometimes we can get in a situation where we're trying so hard to make it work, even though the other person is showing up with a ton of bad behavior and not really caring about us. But because they're with us, we're going to do whatever we need to do to make it work. But at what cost? At what cost? And that's, I feel, the other part of this topic tonight. You know, what are the costs? You know, what are the opportunity costs? And what are the possible, like, risks and losses? You know, and being willing to look at our relationships from more than just one perspective. Because oftentimes we can, you know, it can just be about sex. Or it can just be because they're hot. Or it can just be because, you know, the career that they have or the car that they're driving. And I feel like many of us, you know, that are listening in here are beyond those kinds of just being in relationships for just those specific things. But at the same time, it's still important to, I just feel, look at it from our mind perspective, our body perspective, our intuition, our emotions, and being willing to be the observer in the middle of all that that's making the decision on how to respond versus being reactionary because it's, you know, it's all emotion or all because it's all just physical needs are not being met. Anyways, I'm getting off on a tangent. So Mr. Allen, we're getting towards the top of the hour, and I want to have you have an opportunity to let everybody know how you can work with Allen.
Well, you're very welcome to go on my website, which is Hair by Allen, A-L-E-N, with one L, hairbyallen.com. My phone number is there. I've worked in the Valley Woodland Hills area and also in San Gabriel Valley in Monrovia area. And yes, you can call me, you can text me, and I'll be more than glad to be in service for you.
And you can find me over on 1-2-Listen Daily, usually in the afternoons and evenings. But don't hesitate if you don't see me online to click on the schedule an appointment button. That lets me know right away that you're looking for me. And I will do my best to get right on so that way we can have our time together. So there's a whole week of programming. We have one more day left. It's Monday through Thursday where we have all live programming. The rest of the time we have replays 24 hours a day. But we have a whole other day, so please take a look at our schedule. I will be with Raven tomorrow for Backstage Pass. It's an interview-style show where we interview all the personalities here at 1-2, or within the 1-2 universe. And then Erin Carrera will be live. She'll be talking about more than likely she was on a whole series about acting tips, but using them to in a more practical way, like using them for living life. And then we have Strands of Wisdom with Maureen and Kay. So you'll definitely want to stick around for all of that. So Mr. Allen,
yes,
do you have any final thoughts about our topic tonight? Anything else you want to say?
Well, no, but just be kind to yourself, be good to yourself, and be strong, and seriously, practice the self-love. It really does work. And hopefully nobody gets through those hurts and the pains, even though they're sometimes unavoidable, but look at them as lessons of life. It's not a punishment. It is not like, why is it happening to me always and always? Why is it happening for me?
I love that. Why is it happening for me? So Geraldine says, I love that, Jay. The brick wall. At what cost? And then Marina says, benefit cost analysis. And yes, it is a very much a business term, but for some reason it came to me to be willing to use it as a way to look at and break down your relationship from a different perspective. It's a way to not analyze it to death, but also to be able to look at it in a way to really understand what you have. And that way you know, and so does your partner. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in and joining us tonight for Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. I'm going to get our music queued up, and I'm going to see us out of here. Alan, any final words?
Have a wonderful night, and we love you guys. And until next week, good night.
Good night, everybody.